whenever a gadol passes away, there's a chiyuv to be maspid them. An enormous loss can't go unnoticed, and somebody needs to get up and eulogize and speak about their greatness and bring the community to tears. On the other hand, whoever the job to eulogize the Talmud Chacham falls upon is in a very uncomfortable position. How could he possibly describe the greatness of the gadol that passed away when he himself can't even scratch the surface of understanding who the gadol was? And it's an extremely uncomfortable position to be in when you have to get up and speak about somebody so much greater than anything you could even fathom. Imagine then if somebody told you that you needed to get up and give a hesped for the Chafetz Chaim. Is that even possible? Let's say they told you give a hesped for the Gaon Mivilna, for Rashi, for the Rambam. Even just to think about such a task that you would have to get up and eulogize them is a terrifying thought. It's an impossible task. We can't even be maspid the gedolim of our generation. How can we be maspid gedolim of previous or earlier generations? And the further back you go, the more of an impossible task it becomes. So how could anybody eulogize the Beis HaMikdash? One of the things that I often start off with when eulogizing a gadol is I give a mashal. Imagine a levaya where a young mother passed away, and everybody in the funeral home is bawling and sobbing and crying. What a terrible tragedy. She won't be able to raise her children, and her children are going to be without a mother. But then you see in the front of the funeral parlor, a little kid sitting on a chair, his feet playfully dangling off the chair, while sucking on a lollipop. And quietly, the little boy looks around the room at everybody crying and screaming and doesn't understand. What is everybody so sad about? What happened? And the kid doesn't get it. And yet he really should be the one crying the most. The kid doesn't understand what it means that his mother passed away and the enormous devastating effect that it's going to have in his life. And that's what we're comparable to at the Levaya of any gadol. We don't understand what it means, who the gadol was, and how does it affect us, the fact that he's lost to the world. But when mourning over the Beis HaMikdash, it's way worse than that. Because it's a room full of children sucking on lollipops with their feet dangling off the chair. No one understands what it is that's lost, and we don't even see crying, real, legit crying, going on around us. No one actually feels the pain anywhere close to the pain that's meant to be felt. The challenge when it comes to mourning the Beis HaMikdash is that we don't even understand what we're missing and what we're lacking. I once heard a mashal that never could have happened, that it once happened that the sun extinguished. The sun just completely vanished one day and there was no more sun. And the world had to make do with just electricity alone. So all over the place there was tons of lights hanging everywhere in the streets and the houses. And that's how people were able to continue to see. And a generation or two passed where the children of the generation never even knew what it was like to live with having a sun in the world. And once a grandfather was walking with his grandson, and the son was enthralled by all the shining pretty lights that were all around them, and he was expressing that to his grandfather. Wow, look how beautiful it is. Look at all these bright shining lights. And the grandfather let out a sigh and nodded his head, and he told his grandson, you can't imagine what it was like to live with a sun in the world. And the grandson said, no, this is so much better. What are you talking about? Now we have all these pretty lights everywhere. And the grandfather was trying to explain, no, but the sun used to give off a warmth that was so enjoyable. And its light was so great that it went into everybody's window and filled in every single crack. And it was a pleasant light and it was easy to look at things and nothing was shining right in your face. And when the sun would shine, it would make people in the world happy. But the grandson just couldn't get it. But the difference between a world with a Beis HaMikdash and a world without a Beis HaMikdash is like the difference of a world with a sun and without the sun. Imagine one day suddenly the mitzvah of Shabbos would be taken away from the Jewish people. And every day of the week would just become exactly the same. There'd be no Erev Shabbos preparations, and there'd be no Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos. No Challah, no Kiddush, no Zmiros, no Lamites Melachos. It would just be a Friday and Saturday, just like a Sunday and a Monday. Life would be so different, it would be so much emptier and lacking without Shabbos in our life. The Chafetz Chaim has a sefer where he lists all the mitzvot that still apply nowadays after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And out of all the 613 mitzvot, there are only 271 left. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, more than half of our mitzvot were lost along with it. A Jew that would live at the time of the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't be able to fathom what life could be like without a Beis HaMikdash, or without more than half of their mitzvos. But it's way more than just the list of mitzvos. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we lost a lot of things. But the greatest loss that we had was the Hashra'as HaShchina that was in the Beis HaMikdash, and from there spread throughout the world, and most importantly, in the hearts of every single Jew. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Shechina dwelled within every single Jew. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was something extinguished within the hearts of every single Jew. We couldn't even recognize ourselves, what we would look like and what we would be like if we would live at a time of Hashra'as HaShechina. The Gaon Mivilna writes in his Likutim at the end of Sifra Ditzniuta, the Jews before the Chorban Bayis was like a living, breathing person. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's like that person died. The Jewish people after the Chorban Bayis is like a dead body. The Jewish people then being sent to Galus is like the placing of the body in a kever to allow it to disintegrate there. And then the worms and the maggots that slowly eat away at the body as it disintegrates, that's like the goyim that surround us and eat away from our flesh and destroy us even more. However, says the Gra, it's true that there were still yeshivas and groups of people that were learning. And that was like the flesh and the bones of the dead body that still stayed existing. But even that slowly rotted more and more over the years until all that was left was the bones. And that was the Talmid Chachamim that still hold the body together. Until even the bones disintegrated. And all that's left now of the Jewish people, said the Gaon Mivilna in the 1700s, is the liquid juices and dirt that's left over after every part of the body is finished disintegrating. And what we're waiting for now, says the Gra, when we daven for the Geula, we're davening that the Jewish people should have a Tchiyas HaMesim, that they should be brought back to life. If one were to try to understand what the Jewish people and each individual living then, what they looked like, what they were like, it would be like trying to figure out what a living human being looked like just by looking at this puddle of dirt and juices. There's no comparison and no way to fathom what a Jew was like before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Moshe Stav gave an example. He said, imagine looking at powdered chicken soup mix and trying to figure out, based on that, what a living chicken looks like. The Beis HaMikdash is referred to as Beis Chayenu. Every Monday and Thursday after Kriyas HaTorah, the Chazan says a tefillah, Yehi Ratzon Lifnei Avinu Shebashamayim L'Chonen as Beis Chayenu. We daven that Hashem should reestablish the house of our life. And after reading the Haftorah on Shabbos, one of the brachos that we say is Rachem Atzion Ki Hi Beis Chayenu. It's the house of the life of the Jewish people. In Shir HaShirim, the pasuk refers to the Beis HaMikdash as Kimigdal David Zavareich. It's the neck of the Jewish people. And therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash was cut down, it's like Klai Yisrael was shechted. Their life was removed from them. Chazal even say that when Titus stuck a sword into the paroches, right outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim, it started spurting forth blood. When we're davening for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to send us Bayit Shlishi, to bring the Geula, we're not only davening for a beautiful building to worship Him in, and we're not even only asking for another 342 mitzvos that we're missing. We're asking Him to bring us back to life, that the Jewish people are considered dead without the Beis HaMikdash, so we couldn't even recognize what we're meant to look like. Rav Bloch, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, writes in his Sefer Shi'urei Da'as, when trying to describe what Yerida's Hadoros is, he quotes from Reb Chaim Mivolozhin's description of his Rebbe, the Gaon Mivilna, where Reb Chaim writes that one time the Gra revealed to some Tamidim that night he had been taught by somebody from the Yeshiva Shamala 2,260 ways to understand one pasuk in the Chumash, V'alu Zebanegev. Wisdom and greatness that we can't even relate to. And when Tamidim then asked of Chaim Mivolozhin, so if the Gaon Mivilna would live at the time of the Amoraim, he would have been like the Amoraim? And Rav Chaim Mivolozhin said no. Even if the Gra were to live 1,000 times more, he still wouldn't touch the toenails of an Amora. Maybe the Ramban, said Rav Chaim. And the Gaon Mivilna himself is quoted as having said, if he tries very hard, he could a little bit imagine maybe what the greatness of an Amora or maybe a Tana was like. But one thing that I have no understanding of is what a Pashut Jew was like living in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash. And another quote that I heard in the name of the Gra is that he said that he would crawl across a country to see the back of a person that saw the face of the Kohen Gadol when he came out of the Kodesh Kedoshim. To see the back of a person who saw the face of the Kohen Gadol when he came out of the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, writes, "In Rishonim b'nei Malachim, anu b'nei Anashim." The Amoraim said about themselves that if the earlier generations are considered like Malachim, like angels, then we're like human beings. But if the earlier generations are considered like human beings, "V'im Rishonim b'nei Anashim, anu kichamorim," then we're like donkeys. So if a Talmud Chacham from a later generation were to try to fathom what a Talmud Chacham in an earlier generation was like, it would be like an animal trying to understand what a human being is, not able to, or a human being trying to understand what a Malach is, completely out of his realm. So when we, who aren't Talmid Chachamim, are living so many generations after the people of the Beis HaMikdash Bayis Rishon that even the Gaon Mivilna said he can't even fathom what they were like, then we really don't understand what the Jewish people are like before and after the Beis HaMikdash, and it's completely impossible. The Megillah that we read lamenting the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash starts off with the word Eicha. How could this have happened? Remember a number of months ago, before we even heard of what Corona was and what life was like back then, and if we would just be shown a little bit of a glimpse a few months later how different the entire world would be, the question that would come up in our head is, Eicha, how could that happen? On 9/11, when the Twin Towers were knocked over, one of the feelings that everybody in the world had was, Eicha, how could that happen? That's crazy. The Eicha of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was the loudest and most screaming Eicha possible. How could it be that there could be a Jewish people without a Beis HaMikdash? How could the Jewish people continue to exist as a dead, disintegrating body? How could the Jewish people continue without Beis Chayenu? Eicha is a word that describes utter shock, complete astonishment that you're looking at something that you can't imagine it could be that way. Something that's ungraspable, unfathomable, that the Jewish people could exist without a Beis HaMikdash was something that that generation couldn't even imagine. And therefore the only word that could come up in their mouth was Eicha. How is this possible? For them, telling them that the Beis HaMikdash would be taken away from them is like telling a parent or a spouse, "We're going to take your child or your husband or wife and we're going to put them on another planet. But don't worry, you'll be able to write letters and once in a while talk to them on the phone." That doesn't suffice. I can't live like that. I want to be with them. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah dwelt within us and amongst us. And that's the part that we miss the most. For them, the thought of living without a Beis HaMikdash was like imagining living without your own heart. And the reaction that it elicited by them was, Eicha, how is this possible? And yet we, the dirt and juices of the decomposed body of the Jewish people, standing almost 2,000 years later, don't only not understand or relate to their expression of Eicha, how is this possible? We can't even picture what our living, breathing body used to look like. In Shir Ashir in Parakeh, Pasuk Zayin in Ches, Klai Yisrael, the wife, expresses, "Hikuni p'tza'uni, they beat me, they wounded me. Hishbati eschem benos Yerushalayim, im timtzu'u es dodi, if you find my beloved, my husband, ma tagidulo, what do I want you to tell him? Shecholas ahava ani, that I'm lovesick for him." Explains Rav Chaim Yivolozhin, "Hikuni al tagidu, don't tell him that they beat me. P'tza'uni al tagidu, don't tell him that they wounded me. Don't tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all the tzaros of Golas. That's not the thing that's paining me the most. Ma tagidu, what should you tell him? Shecholas ahava ani, I want the Shekhinah to dwell amongst us again. I miss him. That's what pains me the most. Not the suffering of Golas. Not all the sicknesses in the world. V'ani kirvas Elokim li tov. The only tov in the world is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not having the Shekhinah amongst us is missing the greatest and only good in the entire world. If a Jew is put in this world to be davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then his ability to do so is devastatingly limited because the Shekhinah removed herself, so then we're lacking the very thing that we're put into this world for.